Oh, man, get signed up. Get signed up. We do need your help with the egg hunt. Get involved in that. That's a great opportunity. It's okay. Don't tell me you've never wanted to tell somebody, why don't you go lay an egg? Now they really can, okay? Invite them. They can come help with that. Many opportunities. We concluded last week a series called Infinity and Beyond. And there's times where in seasons in life where you're kind of going through and you're learning the Word of God, and there's times where you just dig a little bit deeper. And we were doing just that and getting in just a little bit deeper and learning about heaven and hell and learning what the Word of God has to say about that. But as we come to the end of that series, just something that was on my heart was just talking about wisdom and what it is. Now, we've talked about wisdom. You've heard a lot about wisdom. You've heard some wisdom. You've read some wisdom from the Word of God. But again, knowing what wisdom is and knowing what wisdom is here is two different things. Knowing what wisdom is and what it is that you're supposed to do and actually doing what is wise, completely different ends of the ballpark, right? I know it's wise not to stick my finger in a light socket, but there's something that's just so tempting when you're a kid. We drove down the road the other day, and I'm still a big kid at heart in some degrees, and we drove by this house that looked like a haunted house. I mean, the thing was all rickety in that, and there's a sign that said, stay off the property, and I thought, ooh, I wonder what's in there. You know, there's something that just wanted to go check it out. You know, there's many things that we can do, but just because you can do them doesn't mean that you should do them. So we need to learn wisdom, and we're going to look in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 13 this morning, as we take a portion of Scripture, and it's talking about, do you remember the story that was told of the 10 virgins who had the oil that they brought? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of 10 bridesmaids who took their lamp and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, but five of them were what? Wise. Okay. The five who were foolish took no oil for the lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all laid down and slept, and at midnight they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and welcome him. All the bridesmaids got up and they prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough oil for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy the oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, sir, open the door for us. But he called back, I don't know you. So stay awake and be prepared, because you don't know the day or the hour of Christ's return. You know, wisdom is something in our lives, and we're going to learn this morning from this story. This can be taken so many different ways, but what I see is it said there was five that were foolish and five that were wise. And it's teaching us about some wisdom here in our lives. And I want to talk to you about what wisdom says this morning. Just three things. There's many things wisdom says. It's not limited to three. But I took three that really spoke to my heart, because wisdom is sometimes learn the best in the worst case scenarios. You know what I mean? If you learn wisdom on the mountaintop with God, you're going to say, oh, thank you, God, for sharing. But when you're in the valley and you're hurting and you're in pain and your life's just spiraling downward and God extends his hand and saves your bacon, wisdom becomes a greater lesson, doesn't it? You know what it is when God steps in that place? Sometimes the lessons we learn, they can sting and they can hurt. But sometimes that's when we learn the best. You know, when I was a kid, my sister and I wanted to go camping. I was probably all of 8 years old, and she was 5 years older. So we went out to the backyard, and we pitched a tent in the backyard. And as we were sitting in the tent, we thought we were in our own little world, and things were just going so great. But it really, reflecting back on it, it was a moldy, stinky room is what it was that we chose to sit out in the backyard in. And as we were sitting there with the light all lit up, there's this spider that had to be 5 foot wide in circumference. It walked in and the tent shook. Boom. Boom. Okay, that's how I perceived it. Now, my sister, when she saw the spider, she was scared. So was I, but I didn't tell her that. And she said, hurry up and go get Dad so he can come kill the spider. So I ran as fast as I could. And I bolted out of that tent. I turned the corner and I headed for the front door and I got things backwards. You open the door and then you run your body through it. You don't run your body through the door. But I rammed my head through a glass door. And shattered that. And I had this gash across the front of my forehead. So, of course, I'm in pain. I'm crying. They're holding a cloth, you know, and all that to my head. And they said, it's not stopping bleeding. We're going to have to take you to the hospital. Now, I don't know everything in the world, but at 8 years of age, I know hospitals, they have needles and knives, okay? And you don't want to go there. But we had to go there. And I remember as they laid me down on the table and the doctor started to examine me, he says, we're going to have to clean out this wound and then we're going to have to give you a few stitches. Now, I knew stitches translated to pain, you know, and agony and near-death experience. You know, when you're 8 years old and you're getting something metal stuck in your head, you're not too happy. And I remember laying there and they put a paper cloth over my face. And I thought, why are you doing that? You know why? Because they don't want me to see what's about to take place. Because they know I'll fuss and I'll fight. But as they put the paper over there, they started to clean the wound. And you know the stuff they use? All of that stuff like iodine. Isn't that really fun when you have an open wound and they pour something like that on there? And that stung so bad. Have you ever had a cut, a scrape, a wound, and you put iodine in it? Anyone? This is going back. Iodine. You could use, you know, if it was a minor cut or something, you use hydrogen peroxide. I like that. Because it didn't sting as bad. A little bit. But not as bad as the others. But I tell you what, when that doctor put that stuff on my forehead, I about went through the roof. I would rather put my head through a glass door again than have that done to my head because it stung so bad. I mean, I was screaming worse than a teenager at a Bieber concert or something. I was hitting notes I didn't know I could. And then he started to stitch me up. Now, as time went on, that wound started to heal. But without the proper cleansing, I wouldn't have received the proper healing. Wisdom is one of those things that sometimes it can sting. But if you're willing to sit still and willing to let God reveal his plan, or sometimes it's when God brings wisdom, it's not always in the bad times. It's just when God brings it. Would you let that be something that cleanses our heart? So this morning, let this cleanse your heart. And sometimes maybe it stings, but it's always because God wants to heal our hearts. He wants us to embrace this wisdom. So this morning, as we talk about what wisdom says, it can be like an iodine lesson. Even though it might hurt it at first, it's important because it will stop things that shouldn't grow from growing in our lives. In addition, it'll help us heal in areas of our lives that we haven't been able to heal on our own. You know, the book of Proverbs uses contrasts and comparisons many times to talk about God's truth, about what wisdom is, what foolishness is. Proverbs says, good people do this, bad people do that, wise people do this, foolish people do that. I remember when I was kind of getting my life right with the Lord, and you guys have heard most of my testimony, but you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I ended up walking away from the Lord, and I ended up coming back. And as I started to come back, my mom said, Jimmy, would you read Proverbs? To which I said, no. Because I don't want to read Proverbs. I got better things to do. And she says, well, would you just read one chapter a day? And I thought, okay, yeah, I can do that. I can do a chapter a day. Not knowing there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, there's 31 days in a month. My mom's just trying to hook me up in this routine. And it was kind of frustrating because sometimes, you know, when you're first starting out and you're trying to get your head back on your shoulders, spiritually walking with the Lord, you read Proverbs and it says, a wise man does this. Drats. But a foolish man does this. Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here. A wise man does this. Oh, I missed that one. Strike two. But a foolish man does this. Yeah, I'm doing that. A wise man, and you start to get discouraged because you start reading Proverbs and you feel like everything the wise person does, you don't do. And so it can sometimes get frustrating. But you see, God's not there pouring the iodine in to remind you of the foolishness that you have in your life. He's desiring to cleanse our hearts. He's desiring to cleanse our minds so that can become more Christ-like, so we can become more like him instead of trying to get God to look more like us. You know what happens is we try to get God to look like us. God's not going to change. Did you know that? He's not going to waver on, hey, meet me halfway. No, that's not the way it's going to work. That's why we go after these false gods, these no-name gods that the Bible talks about. Because if we can't get God to change and we're not willing to change, then let's just create something else that we want to have and we'll call that God. You see, when you come to a place and God reveals himself to you, there might be some no-name gods in your life, things that you put higher than him, that he'll reveal to you. And maybe you'll feel bad. Maybe you'll feel foolish at that time. But the desire is to heal your heart. The desire is to get us to a place of using wisdom. In Matthew 25, verse 1, it said the kingdom of heaven was like 10 bridesmaids. You had 10 that were wise and you had 10 that were foolish. And it says that the other 5 that were wise, they took along extra oil. They took along extra oil. They took it just in case. They wanted to have it just in case they needed it. Do you know that's what wisdom is? It's about taking on some extra oil. Because when the bridegroom, if he's delayed, you're going to want to know that you have that extra oil, these bridesmaids do. The foolish bridesmaids had just enough oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take extra oil. You see, what understanding about bringing more oil is really a simple message. The kingdom of heaven and the bridegroom refer to God. That's who it's talking about. So why should we bring extra oil? Well, God says that the wise bring extra oil because the bridegroom will sometimes be delayed. Do you know that? The bridegroom sometimes will be delayed. In other words, your expectations may not pan out. Your plans may not work. Have you ever had that happen? You got a plan and an agenda, and this is how your day is going to go, and somebody throws a monkey wrench in it. You know, all it takes is one call from the school. Your son is sick. Your daughter is sick. Your day is shot. Now, you may still get stuff done, but you're going to have to rearrange and manipulate things, aren't you? You can get a plan going on, and those expectations may not pan out. Your timetable may not be met. Your dreams may not be realized. Maybe they have to be shelved for a while, and you'll wonder, why this delay? Why this delay in what God is doing in my life? Bringing extra oil is something we must do, because if you don't, your lamp will go out. If you don't have extra oil to keep the lamp going, the lamp goes out. Make sense? If we don't gain his wisdom in our hearts and our lives, if Sunday going to church is all that we do and we think that's going to be enough, we're going to miss out on the extra wisdom God wants to impart into our lives day after day. You ever wonder why going to church isn't that good enough? I mean, I go every week. You see, the thing is if you come here for 2 hours, how many more hours do you have out there? And if you don't invite him into that presence, you're going to miss out on the wisdom that God wants to impart into our lives. It says, when the bridegroom was delayed, that they all became drowsy and that they fell asleep. And at midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out to meet him." So at midnight, all the bridesmaids, they rose to relight their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Hey, give us some of your oil. Let us have some of it. Our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No way, because if we do that, we won't have any left." You see, while the foolish bridesmaids were away making purchases, the bridegroom came and they missed out on the best thing possible. They missed out on what God could have had for their lives. You see, we understand that we don't know the day or the hour. We don't know when the second coming will take place of the Lord. But there's an application here for our lives today as well. We don't know what will happen next week or the week after that, but God knows. We don't know what walls we're going to have to face, what walls we'll have to overcome, but God knows what they are. We don't know what kind of people we're going to have to deal with this week. We don't know what kind of situation. We don't know what kind of family member crisis may come up. We don't know what kind of memory we're going to have to deal with. We don't know any of that, but guess who does? God does. And when you seek his wisdom, God says, "I will give you what you need to face not only that which you know, but even that which you don't know." Isn't that good news? I mean, it's good to know that God will impart that to you. But we have to do our part and come and ask for it. You see, sometimes you find what you're looking for in the midst of a delay. In the Bible, we see delays happening all the time. The kingdom of God, there's always unexpected delays. Think about it. On his way to Jairus' house, Jesus was delayed. A woman with a hemorrhage of blood reached out and touched him, and she was healed. Peter, he was on his way to the temple when he came across the man who was lame from birth. And he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." You see, there was a delay. And in the midst of that delay, that man met his healing. Jesus was on his way when he encountered a woman caught in adultery. She was about to be stoned with rocks. Not stoned with rocks, okay? I mean, it's bad news. But because he was delayed, Jesus stepped in and said, "Stop, wait. He who's without sin, let him cast the first stone." And nobody threw a stone. It was in the midst of a delay. Jesus, God, Peter, when they were moving in direction, sometimes it seemed as if there was a delay. But just because it looks like a delay to us doesn't mean it's not part of God's plan. So gaining wisdom is so important. In the midst of redemption, Jesus took time to speak to a thief beside him on the cross so that he could spend eternity with him. Sometimes in life, we just take enough oil to do what we need to do, just to meet our daily expectations. We gain just enough wisdom to get by. We do just enough to say, God, we put in our time and we went to church. But God's less concerned with you going to church and more concerned with you being the church. There's a big difference. And I know that you have days where you don't feel like being the church. Guess what? Neither do I. I have days when I just want to roll over and say, forget it. I'm done. I don't care. You know, you have those days. But those are just days. Sometimes they're just delays. The Lord says we can be a wise person or a foolish person. And here are some of the lessons out of Matthew 25. In your outlines, and I didn't tell you that, but there's an outline in there if you want to follow along. A few things that wisdom says. Wisdom says, number one, be flexible, for God's ways are not always our ways. If you want to learn about some true wisdom, be flexible. God's ways are not always our ways. Be flexible for God's ways. Well, who else has something to say about that? If you look in the book of Isaiah, and I think we got it up there on the screen, let's go ahead and let's read this together. Ready? Go. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah has something to say about it. He said, listen, just because you think it's one way doesn't make it so. Sometimes God thinks differently. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts, they're higher than ours. Be flexible, because God's ways are so different. You know what foolishness says? Foolishness says it's my way or the highway. That's what foolishness says. And I know it because I've said it. How about you? I've thought it. I've tried to live that. You know what? It's all about me. It's my way or nothing at all. And then I couldn't figure out why nobody wanted to be around me. It's because that heart, that unwise heart that I had at that time. See, when we say it's my way or the highway, in other words, what we're saying is we make our plans and we insist that it should work this way. But the Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. We think that the way we plan our life is right, don't we? We think that this is the way it should be. This is how it should go. However, we've got to understand that sometimes God will circumvent things and move in a roundabout way. Have you ever discovered that? Have you ever had God figured out this is the way God is going to move, and then you find out he does it a whole different way? You know, when I felt that God was calling me back into ministry, I was married at the time. Lisa and I both knew that God was calling us this direction, and we just wanted to move on with that. And so we ended up in Dallas, Texas, home of the Cowboys, by the way. And while we were there in God's favorite football team's country, I just had to get that dig in there for some of you. We started to get edumacated, okay? They started teaching us, and we went through classes, and we listened to teachings and worship seminars, and we started to become equipped. They started to train us. We were getting hands-on experience, and when we got done with that, We didn't quite know where we were going to go, but we just knew we're ready. God can take us anywhere he wants to. We're ready. San Diego, Hawaii. I mean, I was suggesting where God could take me, you know, all these warm places. And we were just kind of getting an idea. God, use us. Our hearts were really open. Anywhere you want us to go, God. And he said, go back to Clinton, Iowa. And I said, anywhere at all, God. He said, go back to Clinton, Iowa. And I said, you just let me know when you're ready, God. You know, there was a part of me that wanted to come home because it was safe. But was it wise? You know, I said, God, are you sure? Are you sure this is where you want me at? Because I'm willing to go to anywhere, San Diego, Hawaii. Did you hear that? You know, sometimes we try to convince God, but God said, no, you know what? It may not have worked in the end the way that you were thinking, but you know what? God does all things good. And we have to seek his wisdom in everything that we do. So we were just obedient to what God was telling us to do. Sometimes you may have a plan. You may think it should look one way, and God will say it's going to look another way. You have a choice. You can go after your dreams, or you can go after his. You can make your choice that you want to do, or you can make a choice that God is calling us to do. You see, if we don't have that extra wisdom to be able to hear God in those situations, we're going to miss the best that God has for us. We need this extra wisdom in our life when we're raising our children. Anyone need extra wisdom when you're raising your children? Anyone need extra wisdom when you're walking through relationship experiences with your husband and with your wife? You know, you're going to need that. Sometimes we may have plans for our children, but not realizing maybe God has greater plans. You know what? I have plans for my son. My son was supposed to be the left-handed pitcher for the Chicago Cubs who won the World Series and made a lot of money and took his dad traveling everywhere. So if you're a Cubs fan, you know you need extra wisdom. Because I don't know when they're going to win the World Series. But you see, in those times when you think you have it all figured out, what you need to know more than anything is not do you have it figured out, it's are you hearing from His Holy Spirit? Are you gaining wisdom from Him? You see, we're going to need that extra anointing, that extra wisdom that God gives. Number two, wisdom says things do get delayed. Things do get delayed. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of truth." See, Paul wrote this in the Bible, in case there are delays, we'll know how we should conduct ourselves. He said, in the case that I'm delayed, he said, I write these things so you will know how to conduct yourself. Where do we get the extra oil? Where do we get the extra wisdom, so to speak? You know, one of the reasons that we beat the drum of daily devotions and journaling here at the church is for that reason right there. You know, I don't encourage people to journal or to do devotions because I get a commission or something. We don't get extra special favor at this church because people do devotions. What we get is we get extra special wisdom from the very Spirit of God. You know, maybe you're going through a difficult season right now where you need extra special wisdom. You know where you can find it? Right here in the Word of God. God will reveal that to you, but we have to be willing to get into the Word of God so we can gain that extra wisdom. You know, when my mom was asking me about Proverbs, you know what she was doing? She was setting me up for wisdom. She was setting me up to learn wisdom, to gain and to garner wisdom. God desires us more than anything to gain and to garner that wisdom. Why? Because things are going to get delayed in life. You ever have to wait at an airport? You ever have to wait for somebody to pick you up somewhere? You ever have to wait? You know what? One of the things we joked about with my dad, I didn't ask if I could share this, but I was going to pick on him, is we would go places, and sometimes mom and dad would take off and just leave me. You ever have your parents leave you somewhere? I'd be at a grocery store walking around on my own, and only to realize mom and dad are gone. Where's mom and dad? They should have picked us up. You know, sometimes things get delayed. One time on a Sunday here, dad said, "Let's go get the car and we'll pick up mom." Me and my friend got in the back seat. Dad hopped in the front seat and started driving. Blew right by mom. Started heading home. I think my mom's plans got a little delayed there. You know, sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes things don't go the way we want them to. And we're going to find out that it's not always going to function on our timetable, but foolishness will say this. When things don't work out, this is what foolishness says. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. How many times have we hid behind that? We said, it's not my fault, it's theirs. Everyone's had the cliche, you know, when you point your finger at somebody, you've got three pointing back at you. You know what? They don't care about that at that time. When you're looking to seek fault in somebody else, the Bible says it's foolishness. We may blame others, but the Lord says it's not the other person's fault. You need extra oil. Things do get delayed, but foolishness will say, well, it wasn't my fault. I'm not the one to blame. I'm not taking responsibility. Proverbs 18:2. It's right up there on the top of the screen. Let's read that one together. Ready? Go. It says, "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." A fool does not delight in understanding what is going on, because it's easier to blame others. Have you ever found that to be true? It's easier to blame somebody else than to take responsibility. It's easier to blame somebody else than to say, what's my part in this? And learn from it. So we do that. But that's foolishness when we start to blame others and we start to say, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's. Do you know that one of the things that wisdom desires to do is to bring us to a place of responsibility? Taking responsibility for our own actions, taking responsibility for our words. Because it's only then that when you take responsibility, you can grow and you can mature in your walk with Christ. You can grow and mature in your walk with your spouse, your children, your workplace. It affects everything about you. So Wisdom says that there will be delays. Foolishness will say it's somebody else's fault when it doesn't. When things do get delayed, it's somebody else's fault. It's not mine. See, God can see the end from the beginning, but if we just blame others, it's not going to work. We have to bring this extra oil or have this extra wisdom that we gain from the Word of God. Take time. Otherwise, we're going to miss out. It doesn't take that long, just 5 minutes. Do you know what 5 minutes can do? Just an extra 5 minutes. The difference between a professional and an amateur, 5 minutes. 5 minutes, five more minutes running on a track or developing a high jump technique. 5 more minutes studying for a test. 5 more minutes trying to understand or resolve a problem. 5 more minutes to articulate what you hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. 5 more minutes helping your son or your daughter study. 5 more minutes just thinking before you reply. Just 5 more minutes listening to your child. Just 5 minutes. It's at that point where extra wisdom starts to infuse into your life. See, if we're so quick to say, it's not my fault, it's their fault, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault, and we start blaming others, we're not going to create an avenue or an opportunity where wisdom can speak because we're too busy firing shots, blaming others. Proverbs 30, verse 20 says, an adulterous woman consumes a man, then wipes her mouth and says, what's wrong with that? Now, this is not a gender-specific scripture. The Bible applies, this verse applies to both sexes. It's saying we can sin and then say, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. You ever see people that do that? They do something blatantly wrong and they say, well, what was wrong with that? And they try to pretend like what they did was not wrong, somehow by them pretending like it's going to make it not wrong. They try to manipulate things. This is why we have problems, because it's everybody else's fault. And life's not fair. Have you heard that one before? Life's not fair. We can all get into that mode. We just get into that it's not my fault habit. The reason this is such an important lesson is because life will not always be fair. I'm sure you're discovering that as time marches on. Life will not be fair, but God will always be good. So we need to gain wisdom from above. The answer is not to blame others, but to gain extra oil. Because what if God doesn't come back when you think he's going to come back? Do you have enough faith? Do you have enough wisdom to wait upon the Lord? What if God doesn't work out your problems or your circumstances the way or the time that you think God should do it? Do you have enough wisdom garnered to wait that out and to trust God and to put your faith in him? He says, wait on him. Wait on him, because when you wait upon him, that's when your strength is renewed. Number three, and I believe it's the last one, what wisdom says this, that God has veto rights. God has veto rights. We make our plans, but God sees that our character is flawed. When we are getting too prideful and start to swell up like a frog or something, we get a little arrogant, we get a little prideful, our head gets a little too big, he will step inside, step us aside, he'll give us a detour, and he'll have to remove that in our lives. He'll create a scenario. Have you ever been so proud of yourself only to set yourself up for a fall? You know, maybe you open up your mouth and stick your big foot in it. Yeah, it happens. It happens. You see, sometimes the lessons we have in life, especially when pride gets in there and that, we have to have some of those iodine lessons. God has to come and he has to cleanse a wound. And sometimes it'll burn and sometimes it'll sting, but he will use it for his own good. Remember that it's in that detour, in a delay, that the kingdom of God is happening. Just because God is detouring something in your life doesn't mean that the plans for God that he has for you has stopped. It just means they've gone a different direction. The question is do you trust the direction that God is leading you, or do you trust your directions? I don't know about you, but when I had a hard time with that for a while, because when I go from one place to another, I like knowing that I know where I'm going. You ever do that when you're driving? Maybe it's a control thing, maybe it's, you know, I don't know. I like to be able to go from point A to point B and know that I can get from here to here and not get lost. But if I do get lost, do I have enough humility in my heart and my life to ask for directions? Or am I going to keep driving until I figure it out on my own? Now, that's just a little illustration of us traveling on a road. Take that same thought and apply it to your walk with Christ. God has a plan for your life. He wants to get you from one place to another. You don't even really know what that destination is, but yet you want to be in control of driving so you can say, I got myself there, rather than trust God to get you there. What if the plan or the road you're traveling down, God takes you through a detour? Let's say you get a little lost. Do you have enough humility in your heart to seek him and say, God, what direction are you leading me? What turn do I need to make to correct this? See, that's what wisdom says, because that's giving God veto rights to speak into your life and say, no, stop going that way. Yes, start doing that. Move here. Turn to the right. You've got to understand, God knows what's going on. I took some classes online a few years ago, going after a bachelor's, and I had to take a number of classes, and most of them were laid out pretty simple. I mean, you've got all these Pauline epistles, Old Testament surveys, crisis counseling or something like that, and then it got to physical science. I was like, physical science? What the heck kind of class is this? They must have made a mistake. I literally called the school and said, I think you've made an error. And they said, oh, why do you think we made an error? I said, because you're requiring me to take a physical science class. And they said, yeah, that's correct, Mr. Machen. And I said, why do I need a physical science class? That's like eighth grade stuff, okay? We did that. I got it over. I did my time in high school, all right? Now I'm on to more mature things, like ministry. You know, trying to come across so stoic in that. You know, so bring on the other stuff. And then they said, no, you have to take physical science. And I said, I don't want to take physical science. And they said, we don't care what you want to take and what you don't want to take. If you want the degree, you're going to take physical science. I was in a position here. I thought, this is the silliest thing. So I was going to go tell on them. So I was going to go to God and say, do you see what they're doing over here? Making me take a physical science class. I mean, I literally had to pray about it because I struggled. I'm like, this is dumb. You know what the real reason was? I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to pass it. I was afraid I wasn't going to do good at it. Probably because I remember high school physical science a little too much. But here's what happened. I said, God, I don't get this. It doesn't make sense. This is stupid. I'm going into ministry. Who needs physical science? I don't need physical science for ministry, but I need help with that. I can Google it, okay? You know, that's why you created Google, right? You know, and I've got my argument, I got my understanding all laid out. And he said, Jim, you're taking physical science. I said, I want to take physical science, you know, very mature response. I whined to God. And God said, Jim, when you signed up for these classes, do you think that maybe I knew exactly what was going to be all lined up in the classes you were going to take? And I said, yeah, this is all happening, you know, like this. It's not like I was spent all day doing it. But I said, yeah, I'm sure you did. He said, so did you think that maybe when you signed up for these classes, I knew you were going to be taking physical science? Yeah. Did you think that maybe I was okay with you taking physical science? Well, no, I never thought about that. But why would you want me to take physical science? He said, Jim, there's something much greater going on in here. You're not learning about physical science as much as you're learning about submitting and surrendering to my Holy Spirit. You're learning about submitting and surrendering to an authority that's been placed above you that you didn't know you signed up for. And what I want to know is are you willing to submit and surrender, or do you want to do your own thing? And I thought, drats! I'm foiled again. And I said, oh, there's a choice to make. You know, one moment I was arguing, Lord, I'm not going to be doing stuff with electromagnets and, you know, I'm not going to be doing anything with energy and motion. But the Lord said, no, it has nothing to do with the class that you're taking as far as the studies that you will have. It has everything to do with your willingness to be able to let me have veto rights into your life, to say yes or to say no, and you trust me for the reason why. You see, that's wisdom. Psalms 115 verse 3 says, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. God can do whatever he pleases in our lives. And our job is to respond to him and his Holy Spirit. Here's what foolishness says. Wisdom says God has veto rights. Foolishness says God moves on my timetable. That's what foolishness says. The Bible says it is foolish if we think God is here to serve us. If that's your attitude, you'll not have the wisdom necessary to experience the kingdom of God. My challenge is this for us as a church, is I think that maybe we don't pack wisely. I think that maybe when we go somewhere, we need to take more oil with us. I think that when we are going through a circumstance, a crisis, I think when we're going through just a journey of joy in our life, that we need to take on a little bit more wisdom in our lives. Do you agree? How many of you would like more wisdom in your life? You can do something about that. But just like these 10 ladies, five packed wisely, they brought extra oil. Five packed unwisely, and they brought just enough. You know, men, we can learn from the ladies in this area. You ever packed to go on a trip? Guys, we're pathetic. I mean, when we go on a trip, for the most part, most guys, I'm not going to speak for all guys, because I don't want you to beat me up after service. But for most guys, if we're going to go on a five-day trip, we'll grab a couple pair of pants, maybe. A couple shirts, you know, maybe three socks, pair of shoes, and then we'll just hope the rest works out. And that's on a good day, okay? And we'll just kind of get that together. But let's say our wife's going to go on the trip with us, same five-day trip. But we've got five pants, we've got five blouses, a couple skirts, dresses, shoes, makeup. I mean, they just start packing it all in there. And what's amazing is not only do they pack what it is that they think they need, they pack the stuff that I didn't even know God created yet. I mean, you could have something happen. It's kind of like a wife-mother thing. I don't know where it comes from, but they got this stuff in there that no matter what's going on in life, bam, it's there. A kid sniffles. You know, oh, you got the sniffles, honey? Bam, there's some cough drop with a little measuring spoon. I mean, she's had it tucked away in her purse somewhere, right? You know, all of a sudden somebody else, they get a cough and mom has that. They sniffles, they got the tissues, cut your finger, they got a Band-Aid, sever a leg, they're going to pull out, you know, sutures and a surgery kit and sew your leg back on. They've got everything necessary because they think ahead. They plan wisely. They think, well, what if this takes place? What if that takes place? What if this doesn't match? What if that rips? What if that tears? What if my luggage is lost? What if, what if, what if? Us guys just go and say, whatever. Whatever. But you know what happens when whatever doesn't work? We look to the woman who said, what if? There was wisdom. Now, that's a packing illustration, but do you know that that's exactly how it works in the kingdom of God? Sometimes we go through life saying, whatever. Whatever. But when we're in trouble, guess what? God says, I've got wisdom. But if you would just receive it ahead of time, if you would just receive that wisdom and let God pour that into our hearts and our lives, wisdom. Wisdom is learning to be flexible. If I could add a beatitude in the Bible, which I can't, just want to clear that up, but it would be blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. If you can learn to be flexible, if you can learn to be fluid, then God can speak into your life. And if you're planning to go this way and God moves you this way, it's okay because you're flexible. You can move with that. You can go where God's leading. But if you're rigid or you're hard and you're saying, I'm stubborn, I'm staying where I'm at, it's going to break you. It's going to break you. Let wisdom move you. Let there be a flexibility. Know that these things, sometimes things will get delayed in our lives. Don't look for shortcuts. Don't look for ways to shirk your responsibility and say, it's not my fault. And let God have veto rights into our lives. After all, God does have a timetable. And the quicker we are to embrace God's timetable instead of ours, the quicker we will gain wisdom from above. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray today that, Lord, we can walk away from here today knowing that there has been deposited within our heart and within our spirit wisdom from above. So, Lord, we receive your wisdom today. Lord, we receive just the very presence of your Holy Spirit moving in our life. Lord, we just pray and ask today that we will not leave here the same way we came. I pray today that as we leave, there will have been something that has been deposited within our hearts. That, Lord, you would have just deposited a seed that has been planted that will flourish maybe at a later time. Lord, maybe for some of us here today, there was a clear voice, a clear voice from your presence, from your Holy Spirit to our lives. Lord, we pray that the voice that you speak, we will take that and we will obey it. We'll do what you told us to do. Because until we do what you told us to do, why would you speak anything more? So Lord, forgive us if we've not moved in obedience. And today may we walk in obedience to Christ. We receive that wisdom from above today. And we ask it all in your name. And everyone said, amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Don't miss out. Get signed up for Iron Sharpens Iron. You can ask any questions if you have some. We've got Roy right here. Feel free to go ask him. And the Easter egg hunt that we have. If you can help with us, please sign up. Please lay an egg. All right? God bless you. You're dismissed.